Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Well, good morning. I am here this morning on Women Leading the Way Radio Show. I'm Michelle Berquist. I am your, I hope, wonderful host this morning. This radio show is co-hosted by Connected Women of Influence, and our leading lady this morning with me on the radio is none other than Miss Jackie Martin with Incentive Group Brown and Bigelow. Jackie, are you there?
I sure am. Good morning, Michelle.
Now, you gave me a little tip before we started on the show, so I'm thinking that, okay, we're going to kind of share with our listeners that you are right now, at this very moment, not sitting in an office environment. Where are you looking at? Because you shared that with me before we got on the radio, so share with everybody where you're at this morning.
Well, you know, I have a beautiful commute from North County down to Kearny Mesa, and traffic was kind of bad, so I pulled off on Coast Highway, and I am parked atop a hill in Encinitas looking at the beautiful Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, I'm so jealous right now. That's why I wanted you to share, because I'm going, yeah, okay, office environment, looking at the ocean. I think you are different, but I'm excited to have just a little conversation with you this morning, because I'm going to share with our listeners, one, you are a certified advertising specialist, correct, with Brown and Bigelow? Wait, let me say the whole thing. Brown and Incentive Group, Brown and Bigelow. That's a mouthful.
Well, first of all, yes, the whole incentive group, Brown and Bigelow, yeah, we, Incentive Group is an almost 30-year-old company, that a local San Diego company that was purchased by Brown and Bigelow, which is a nationwide advertising specialties company that has been around since 1896, and we were purchased almost 2 years ago, so we're kind of going through that transition and name change and rebranding of ourselves. But
I was going to say, just because I know that this was such a shock to you that it wasn't kind of public knowledge about the merger and the acquisition, do you mind kind of going back 3 years ago and kind of sharing? It's like, I remember going through that experience with you. What was it like to all of a sudden, with a company that you were very comfortable with, you were very successful with them, and woo, all of a sudden now here comes a new company? I mean, can you kind of share what that was like? Because I mean, I know what you went through.
Well, sure. You know, it's always a little scary. You know, I was pulled in with another top producer of our company and was told by the existing owner of our company that he had sold the business. And there were a few telltale signs. You know, he was, you know, getting to retirement age and had some health issues. And we were told we were sold to this new company. But the transition really has been very positive.
Mm-hmm.
I really can't say anything negative about the new Brown and Bigelow. We have sales support. I actually have an assistant that helps me out a lot, that when I'm out on sales calls or at networking events and things like that, that she's there that continuing to run and help my clients while I'm out drumming up new business. And then the name and recognition of Brown and Bigelow in the industry, when I go to industry trade shows or events, the name is well known. So
yeah,
all that.
Well,
is
I know.
But
I know,
on the other hand, I can still do business as usual. They didn't come in and tell me that I had to change a lot of things about the way I did business. So I was still Jackie Martin, you know, promotions. I didn't have to change things and do them their way.
No, and I know you've shared that it's been a really positive experience for you with the different resources, and they're bigger, and it's like, you know, you've got access to a lot of different things. You know, I think it was just knowing you when it happened, it's like, what was that initial shock? Because I think I've shared with you, you know, I went through 5 mergers and acquisitions in banking, and it was never, I mean, it was never fun. It was that change, that unknown. I mean, kind of describe that if you don't mind, because, I mean, I just remember it's like, you know, maybe you learned about it, I mean, not a lot of notice, but what was that like going through kind of the change? I mean, everything was kind of different, was it, when Brown and Bigelow came in, for people that maybe are dealing with a lot of change in business?
Well, I mean, it was that tough year anyway, where you really had to really focus on your business. We were all, you know, it was 2 years ago, the peak of, you know, the horrible economy. And sure to be faced with, oh, my gosh, now who's my new boss? What are we going to do? Are we going to change computer systems and all those things? But, Michelle, as you know me, I don't focus on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I really focus on, okay, I still have a job. I still have a desk. I still have a place to do business. I still have my clients. And they're really empowering me to almost teach them on how I did my business and how they could learn from me. So with the transition, I didn't focus on a lot of, oh, no, what's going on. Sure, it was very, very scary before I met the new people. But once mm-hmm. I did, I realized they want me to be successful as much as I do, and they were there to support me. So I really, it wasn't, once over the original shock, it wasn't that bad.
No, and I know you've said for years, it's like, you know, you sell pens and mugs, and I kind of wanted today to kind of like focus in on a couple of things that you're more than pens and mugs, Jackie, because really, I mean, how businesses use promotional products and what they do with them, I mean, you guys are so creative, and I've known you for years that, you know, I always laugh at some of the different promotions I've seen you do, but, you know, if you don't mind sharing with the listeners, you know, I think the coin phrase now is that we're dealing with the new economy, and so the new economy since 2008 with the meltdown, and we're still in the thick of it. But I'm kind of curious from your perspective. I mean, are there things that you've done differently that you could share with our listeners, you know, that you went about maybe in a different way because of the meltdown and the new economy and keeping in touch with customers? I mean, what have you done to shift what you normally do, you know, and how you run your business side of things with, you know, the promotional products and advertising specialties?
Well, boy, that was a multifaceted question. So, yes, I do sell more than pens and mugs. I know that's who you are. yes, I sell way more than pens and mugs. And, yes, people think about imprinted products as pens and T-shirts and mugs. There's way more. There are incentive programs and safety programs and recognition programs and things like that. So it's way beyond just the trade show giveaways. But you know, with the tough economy, I really just put my nose down to the grindstone. I worked a lot more hours than I had in the past and didn't focus on what, quote-unquote, they were saying about the economy. I have mm-hmm. really strong relationships with my clients, which I know really helps, and I just really stayed in front of them. I really went back down to what I preach to my clients to do, and that is a lot of soft touch marketing. So I would, spent lots of money in mailing, which way more than paid off. So in today's instant technology, tweet, Facebook, all that, sure, that's instant advertisement, but it doesn't last. And mm-hmm. I really believe, you know, it's there and it's gone. If you're not looking at your Facebook or tweets right away, your tweet will go way down. So promotional product is real, and this is a catchy word for right now, sustainable advertising. It lasts. People keep those pens, those mugs, those keychains, those little gadgets that sit on your desk. We call it, you know, getting part of the real estate on somebody's desk. So I really, really went back down to what I preach to my clients to do, and then I got out there and started networking a lot more. I hadn't networked in a lot.
And describe that for me, because I know you and I, we've had conversations about this, that you shifted how you network. You know, I mean, we could I'm a big believer, or not a believer, but I know so many people that just kind of run amok when they network. So how did you change your networking, and has it been effective for you? Because I know you've been former board member of the Oceanside Chamber of Commerce and, you know, very active in the community. What have you done differently to shift your networking from the, quote, tough economy and new economy?
Well, I really focus more on, I just am active in two, which is the Chamber, Oceanside Chamber of Commerce and CWI, Connected Women of Influence. And instead of just running around gathering a whole bunch of business cards that we're all famous for doing and making this contact and hoping they're going to call you, or those business cards sitting on your desk too long and then you feel like you can't contact them, I just really focused on building relationships or reinforcing relationships that I had in the networking groups that I had, and then not being afraid to ask for the referral. Because you got to remember, with networking, it's not necessarily the person that you're talking to, it's who they might know, and building that confidence and relationship that they're going to open their Rolodex and share it with you or refer you out.
Well, and do you mind kind of sharing, how do you do that? I mean, you mentioned soft touch marketing. I'd like to know a little bit more about that. But even with your networking efforts, you know, I mean, it's who people know, right? So how do you get to the point of where people are talking you up? I mean, do you meet regularly with people? Do you just kind of off the cuff say, hey, think of me for this or that? I'm kind of curious about do you have a strategic approach to how you get referrals from networking and get introductions?
I don't think I have a real strategic approach. I am very, I like to step into other people's boxes rather than forcing them into mine. So I really
get
that old NLP class I took 100 years ago. I really build a relationship with them. You know, I had a meeting with a client on Friday, and we went to lunch. And for 2 hours, we probably talked about their kids and TV shows and this and that. And it was only like the last 20 minutes of that meeting that we talked about business. And so I don't sell, I build relationships.
That's a great way to put it, and I know you do that well. Again, like I said, I know you, but to share with our listeners, I mean, I'm kind of curious, you know, with what happened since 2008, and again, I'm kind of saying from 2008 to current, you know, we've all taken a hit in business. Businesses aren't spending as much. They've pared back on what they do and what they buy. So from your standpoint, I mean, how did you, when you say soft touch marketing, what are, besides networking, some of the things you've done to keep yourself in front of your customers? I mean, how did you change things? Did you just get repeat business? I mean, I'm kind of asking you to unpack. Tell us more about that soft touch marketing plan that you've done.
Yeah. Well, luckily, at my fingertips, I have lots of great promotional products to be able to mail out. And there's nothing better than, whether it's at your mailbox at work or your mailbox at home, is to get a piece of what I call lumpy mail. It's not just an envelope. It's not just a trifold folded up with a stamp on it that kind of gets shoved off as you're flipping through your mail. If you get a bright-colored envelope that's not flat, it's kind of lumpy, you're going to open it. So I really reached out to my vendors. I had to start going to my vendors and say, hey, can you give me some effective, you know, good pricing on mailings to my clients? So I got creative. I did a Valentine's mailing out some saltwater taffy, you know, and just wrote a silly Roses Are Red poem on it. I got really good definitely in 2010 or 11, I think it was 11. Every time I got an order from a client, they got a piece of lumpy mail, whether, you know, and it, again, you don't have to put, when it comes to promotional products, so many people put too much thought in behind what and super creative. People like gifts. People like to get something. So even if it was as simple as, you know, a new flavor of chapstick, because there's so many out there right now, with just a fun thank you postcard. Hey, you know, thanks for thinking of me, or, you know, just simple things like that. So it's remembering people that they matter. And then There are other mailings that I did the same of people I hadn't heard from in a long time. You know, people.
But you know,
one of the things
I love that you do, and you've done this for years, is that anytime. I mean, you always tie in like a theme or a phrase, or how do you work with a client that way? That you, when you do, like, let's say you send somebody. Well, I'm going to go to when you sent me that Staples, like, you know, it's easy button, and it was like it had a song behind it, and it's like I still have it, and I won't play it over the radio, but because I changed it twice where it's like it's run out of juice. But it was so cool that you tied it in, you know, with kind of the message that you were sending it for. And so how do you do that? I mean, how do you get the creative juices flowing like that? Because I think that really is a signature thing that you do, where you tie in the message with whatever the promotional item is.
Yeah, those kind of, that was easy buttons, even though they played like Don't Worry, Be Happy. That was one of the mailings I mailed out like at the crash of 2008, saying, hey, you know, life's going to go on, don't worry, be happy. I can't take 100% credit for my creative juices, and this is the blessing of where I work, that we have, there's 13 of me in my office, so we will often sit and brainstorm. Say if I find a product that a vendor is willing to, you know, or that I'm excited about buying, then we will sit there and come up with shooting around the table, oh, what about this, what about that? And that, again, is the joy, I wish I could take credit for it all, of being in the company that I do work for, that I've got other very creative people that we work as a team. Although we'll all have our own books of business, we're very much a team family type company that we share resources and ideas and processes. So it's a beautiful place that I work.
That's what they say. It's a beautiful thing, baby, right? It's a beautiful thing.
Exactly.
I love it. Well, you know, here's a question, because I know you always put on the happy front. You're like, you know, you're a glass full of half happy, and I love that about you. But, you know, we all, I think, have maybe a couple of instances from the last few years of what have been maybe some challenges that we've had in business. So do you mind sharing? Because I think one of the most important things for me on Women Leading the Way Radio is that women in business, we all have challenges and issues. We know this, right? We're in CWI. And it's like, among that, I mean, when you look back over the last few years, what do you feel have been maybe your two biggest challenges? And, you know, how have you handled it? I mean, when you think of the biggest impact or what those challenges have been, whether it was the merger, the acquisition, the economy, just staying the course, what have been your two biggest challenges, and how have you handled that to keep your happy, happy face?
Well, I think one of the biggest challenges that I just had to accept, you know, in these last couple of years is that we were all working a lot harder for just a little bit less money. And I find that within myself, I find that with my clients, that we all had to multitask a little longer, more, maybe take on a role in our companies that we weren't 100% used to doing, putting that extra hour instead of going home, going to an event. So that is just something I learned, that's okay, you know, I'm not going to have my mom hours and, you know, just dawn to dusk type hours. And I don't mind working hard because I love what I do. Mm-hmm. I think on the other side, the biggest challenge is dealing with companies' budgets, because so many of my clients were used to, yeah, sure, just order it, I love it. It really wasn't always a cost factor. And suddenly they were faced with a huge budget cut, yet they still wanted the same creative, nicer products, and the two just really didn't marry. So I had to really tap into some of the resources that Brown and Bigelow offered me as relations with suppliers, and then even my close relations with suppliers, to try to get better pricings that I could pass on to my clients, or to really start getting my clients to shift that, yeah, you know, it doesn't have to be the hottest, fastest, cutest, most expensive product if you're living in a budget. Again, people are appreciative of anything they're going to get at the trade show, the luncheon, the meeting.
And do you find in the last couple of years that price has really dictated whether people will order or not, as opposed to they would get excited about the promotional products and what they were maybe before pre-2007?
In some aspects, you know, definitely price is a factor. I do a lot for a company that does a lot of their internal meetings, and all their leaders in the company used to just get the nicest everything, and things have been real scaled back. But on the other hand, then they really started looking at it once they scaled back, that saying, you know what, our leaders are okay without getting this swag at the meeting. But maybe at the lower management meetings, let's start treating them better. So it's been a progression of budgets, and then I'm starting to see companies restarting to respend now, but mm-hmm. they've shifted their mindset on how they spend things, especially internally. You know, it used to be only the top that got these super nice goodies, and it's more the middle management that's getting rewarded, and they're really thinking, especially when the big cuts happened and people were losing their jobs and the existing employees were working harder and longer, I felt at the initial shift, they were thanking the bottom line employees a lot more often.
That's an interesting shift. Yeah, that companies are, and I think as the economy changes, don't you, that more of that focus on employee recognition and appreciation will be important because of the talent drain. People getting jobs, hopping around, they've hung in on there. Do you think that's going to be kind of the focus for the future with companies, is to really center in on employee appreciation more?
I think any company that's not doing it is missing a huge boat, because you want to be proud of where you work and you want to feel thanked for doing a hard job, so a good job. So I think any company that's not doing every once in a while good, you know, working at Disney as long as I did, I call them pixie dust meetings, just thank you meetings or employee recognition on anniversaries, if they're not doing a health and wellness program within their company to keep their employees healthy and fit, and then safety recognition. Those are all things that every company should be doing to keep their employees plugged in and happy and safe and moving.
That was a great answer. I like that. That was awesome. I got a question for you that I know you're going to laugh at a bit, because it's like, you know, we've had so many conversations, but, you know, what, seriously, okay, I'm just going to kind of put reality on the table. So you sell pens and mugs, right? And you sell excitement and recognition and appreciation, because we had similar backgrounds back in the day when I did baskets and we worked together. But I'm kind of curious, I mean, how do you, Miss Martin, how do you stay excited and, you know, motivated over pens and mugs? I mean, I just got to say, what is it about this business and this industry that keeps you excited, or is it the business or something else? I'm just kind of curious. What drives you, girl?
What drives me? Well, I love, there's never a day that I wake up to go to work and say, I don't want to go to work. I mean, I love what I do, which I think anybody that dreads going to work, there was a time at another place in my life that I did dread going to work. And you got to stop that. If you're not passionate and love what you're doing, don't do it. But, you know, our industry is constantly changing. You know, we evolve with trends. You know, years ago, the hottest, newest thing was anything that plugged into a USB port, whether it be, you know, your typical flash drives, but there were the fans and the lights and the things like that. Then it really transitioned into the green industry, you know, stuff made out of recycled stuff, or things that are recyclable, and organic cotton, things like that. And now, you know, anything that attaches to a cell phone or an iPad or an iPod and things like that is what's hot. So I think I keep myself educated within my industry, and that alone right there keeps me excited.
I love it. I can hear the excitement in your voice. It's like, woo-hoo! I love it. Hey, well, you know, this is kind of a question just on any industry, but, you know, what do you feel is the biggest misconception about what you do and what you offer to companies and agencies in promotional products and advertising specialties?
I think that one of the biggest misconceptions about somebody that really doesn't know my industry, they think at my office I print the pens, I print the T-shirts, I print the mugs, that it's all there in my office, and I can just pull it off a shelf and I slam a logo on it. I think a lot of people don't realize that I work with thousands of vendors across the country and even have contacts in China if I want to do custom products, or if we have enough lead time that we can do it in China and ship it over on a slow boat to save a lot of money. So I think a lot of people don't realize that I don't make everything in my office.
And, you know, I got to say the funny part is, okay, one who likes promotional products is there is nothing like getting, as a business, right, as a business owner, you get something that has your logo, your brand on it, and it's like, it's exciting, you know, to you as the company. So I think, you know, you're kind of selling excitement too. I mean, do you feel that as well, that you really dial in when companies, you know, how excited they are to see their logo on items and, you know, see items that can be branded with their company identity and all that?
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things that I do for a lot of my clients when I have a marketing budget, obviously, you know, just like every other business, that if I see a product that I think is unique, even if I don't think my client is going to buy it, I will invest and put their logo on it and just keep them in my office. And when I have an appointment with them, I bring them something with their logo on it because, yeah, they're going to get something with my logo on it no matter. But to walk into a client's office with something with their logo on it already, like you say, they're happy. They're
excited. Yeah, and, you know,
it's something
but
different.
That leads to something else because I think this is also important for all of us as business developers, you know, or the sales, you know, engine of our companies or who we work with, and that is how do you prioritize what type of, you know, person or company that you would do that for? Because I'm assuming you wouldn't do that for anybody, you know, that's looking to do promotional products. I mean, how do you make that decision to say you but not you and determine the potential there? Because I think that's the hard reality is you can't just fall all over any potential customer. You've got to look at what's going to be the potential, right? I mean, do you do that?
Yes and no. You know, I always, you know, that's
question,
that's
I know,
that's
sorry. We can't, but you can't do all that for everybody. I mean, that's really the message here, right?
No, I can't do it for everybody. But then again, my biggest clients, I probably don't do it for because they see their logo on enough stuff that they're not impressed with. So I almost do it with my middle clients because they're the ones that are going to appreciate it a little bit more and get more excited about it. My clients that spend a lot over the year and see their logo on everything, they're also the same client when I bring samples over that pack them back in a bag and say, please take these away. You know, they're the ones that buy the stuff over and over and over, so they're not excited anymore. So the ones that I really excite and tease with these fun things are my middle clients that I know are really going to appreciate. So I don't think there's really a dollar limit where I say it's a, you know, A, B, or C client. It's sometimes that personality where they're maybe not going to spend as much, but they're going to really appreciate it. And when I know that they're going to spend or they hear somebody that might spend, that they're going to think of me and either call me or refer me out.
Wow. Well, I think this is really good comments because I think for all of us in business, we have to prioritize what the potential is of a customer or the potential, you know, value that we're going to get. I mean, that's just the reality of business. And I'm glad to hear that, you know, I know that you do a lot of kind of that personal approach to business. So let me ask you one final question because we're on the downhill slide here. I'm just kind of curious, what's the one single thing that you feel you do that really is equal to the success you've had in business? I mean, one thing, if you had to put the top dog on the top of the hill, what would that thing be that you do that really you feel is central to your success?
I don't get caught up in the negatives of the world. I really have to say that, and I hope you don't hear the Amtrak going by.
I know you're in Encinitas looking at the ocean.
Exactly. And it goes back to going what we said way, and you've said it a few other times, is that I just stay positive. I come into my office every day just looking forward to who I'm going to talk to. I just stay positive, and that has what kept me successful.
There is no other way to wrap up than that, Jackie. I just want to say thank you because we're on the end part of our little interview here. Thank you for being on Women Leading the Way Radio. Yeah. And again, I'm Michelle Berquist with Connected Women of Influence. It's been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. Next Monday, we will be back again with our next leading lady that we would love to interview at 9 a.m. on Monday morning. So thanks, Jackie, for being with us. And that, folks, is a wrap today. Have a great Monday.
Bye-bye.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.